If you have your Bibles, open up to Jonah, the book of Jonah. Page 1068 in the Pew Bible, if you don't have your own copy of God's Word. If you do, you're welcome to try that page. It might work. 1060. I'm just kidding. It probably won't work, just so you know. Open to the book of Jonah, the prophet Jonah. We're going to dig back into Jonah this week. We had an exciting week last week as we saw some plans and some different things and kind of had a different kind of Sunday. But this is the kind of week where we want to get back in God's Word and remind ourselves of what's most exciting. That's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and His Word that He's given us so clearly and so plainly. And we're so thankful to the Lord for His Word. I just want to say how grateful I've been for the church this week and the way that you have all responded to so many who have been in need during the snow and in other ways, and the way that this church loves families who are grieving. And so we've lost two of our members this week. It's not been an easy week for the First Baptist Church of Gadsden. It's been a very tough week for us as we grieve the loss of those two faithful church members. And so we must remember to love those who have lost loved ones and be the church in those difficult times. And I don't know if I've ever seen a better example of loving people during difficult times than the First Baptist Church of Gadsden. So I just want to thank you. It's a refreshing thing for a pastor to watch his people love each other. It's a wonderful thing. So if you have your Bibles open to Jonah, go ahead and stand with me out of reverence for the reading of the words of our God. We're going to begin reading in chapter 1, verse 17, and then we're going to finish up in verse 6 of chapter 2. So this is praying in the belly of the fish part 1 this morning. The author of Jonah writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in such a way that as the words on this page are being read, God Himself is speaking to you. Beginning in verse 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and He answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and You heard my voice, for You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All Your waves and Your billows passed over me. And then I said, I am driven away from Your sight, yet I shall again look upon Your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever, yet You brought up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God. Let's pray together. Father, please open our hearts and minds today to receive Your Word, to be changed by it. Let us encounter the risen Lord Jesus in this text of Scripture. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Many of you and many of your family members, judging from the stories I've heard already this week, were affected by, you kind of want to call it a blizzard, but it wasn't really a blizzard, but by Snowmageddon, as people are calling it this week. I've heard so many stories already about the difficult circumstances many of you were in. Many of you having to abandon your cars, even here in Gadsden, to get home, walk home. Trips to the impound lot afterward to go pick them up. Many of you who perhaps were stuck in Birmingham or other points south. Many of you who had 10, 12-hour commutes to try to get back to your house. Many of you who have had family members who had to walk for miles or go through difficult circumstances. Even if you didn't go through that, or if you didn't have family members, or we all know at least probably a handful of people who were greatly affected by this. As a state, we were affected with a very rare, if not unprecedented, situation. We had to ask ourselves these questions. How do we handle sudden snowfall? How do we handle these difficult circumstances? These things happen so rarely in our state that we don't always know exactly how to handle it. We don't know exactly what to do. It's so unprecedented. Let me ask you this question. How do you handle difficult circumstances that happen in your life? How do you handle those situations that come upon you and you weren't expecting them and you certainly weren't prepared for them? How do you handle those darkest days? How do you handle those most difficult circumstances? Jonah was gone. He is gone from simply being a respectable prophet in the land of Israel. Then he rebelled against the word of the Lord. Fled from the presence of God. Hopped a ship to Tarshish to try to flee from the presence of the Lord. To the point now where he has been thrown overboard into the wind and the waves. And from the best we can tell from this poetic prayer that we have record of from his time, he almost died. He almost drowned in the sea. Until the Lord appointed a great fish, the Bible says. A great fish, the Bible says, to swallow him up. To save him. I think it's safe to say that going from being a respectable prophet in Israel to near-death experience in the middle of the sea to being eaten by a fish are circumstances that Jonah did not expect. I'm surprised the poem doesn't begin with, "What a week I cried out to the Lord." What a strange circumstance he's found himself in. And how often do we find ourselves in circumstances in our own personal lives that we just simply weren't expecting? It happens to me a lot. I'm the kind of person that likes to think. I think a lot. I try to think of circumstances all the time. What do I do if this happens? What do I do if this doesn't happen? What if this goes this way? How will I respond? I try to think through those things all the time. I can't tell you the number of times I've looked at my wife and said, "Well, I did not expect that. It was not what I expected." And isn't that often how life goes? Isn't it often that we encounter those situations that we simply were not expecting? So this morning, I want to talk to you about how we can navigate our most difficult circumstances. Three reminders this morning for handling life's most difficult circumstances. First is this. As you encounter difficult circumstances in your day-to-day life or circumstances you didn't expect, next time you're caught off guard, remember that God is sovereign over all things. Remember that God is sovereign over all things. Notice the language that's being used here. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. The imagery of the poem is an imagery of sinking. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me, and all your waves and your billows passed over me. And then I said, "I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life." As he goes deeper, the waters are closing in. The deep surrounds him as he goes deeper. Weeds, he's to the point where even seaweed is available to wrap around his head. He's down to the rocks at the bottom of the ocean, at the roots of the mountains. He went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. He was at the very point of death. "Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God." The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And then Jonah begins to pray during this time. "I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard me, for you cast me into the deep. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look on your holy temple." Verse 3 again, he says, "All your waves and your billows passed over me," in verse 3. Do you see the way Jonah's talking? He's not falling through this sea and saying, "Oh God, why would you let this happen to me? Oh God, how could this kind of thing happen to me?" He is going through the wind and the waves and the billows and the seaweeds wrapping around his head. Then he's saying, "Oh Lord, it is your waves that crash over me. It is your billows that crash over me. Oh Lord, it is you that has done this." And it was God who appointed a great fish to save him. The author is showing us that God has appointed this great fish at just the right time to swallow Jonah up. Jonah believed he was at the very verge of death, and God brought his life up from the pit. The fish swallowed him, and he was saved. Let me ask you this question today. Do you trust in the sovereignty of God? Do you trust in the sovereignty of God? As Christians, we must believe that God is in control of all things. There's no other way to read the text of Scripture yet to believe. Now, there are lots of people who think different ways about how God's sovereignty works, but there are so seldom anybody who's a Christian who doesn't believe in God's sovereignty at all. For us as believers, as we look at the text of Scripture, we must wholeheartedly hold to the fact that God is sovereign. God is in control of all things. God has no lack of control over the world. Do you trust in the sovereignty of God? I mean, do you really recognize the hand of God in all circumstances? I think that we need this sort of rock-solid understanding of God's sovereignty to get us through difficult circumstances. That what we wind up doing, though, and if we're not careful, we can twist God's sovereignty away from the way the Bible wants us to view it and toward a way that can harm our walk with the Lord. We begin to say things like, God, why would you put me through this? Why would you ever do this to me? Why would you single me out in this way? Why would you act this way toward me? But during those most difficult times, we must have a view of God's sovereignty that says, He is in control. He is in control of my life, and He will use all things. He will make all things good in His own time. Everything that's wrong will be made right. Everything that's wrong will be undone by our Lord Jesus Christ. God's sovereignty is a powerful belief, because when you consider someone who's sovereign, you know they have control. You know that they have power over you. And so there are people who have sovereignty over states or over groups of people, and they use that sovereignty for evil, right? We've heard of wicked despots and other evil leaders who have held people captive, have been very cruel and mean to people. They use their sovereignty in a bad way. But for us, we recognize that our God is a good God. Our God is a good God. He uses His sovereignty for good. God is a good God, and even in difficult circumstances, even when we can't see God's good, we know that He will make things good one day. When you find yourself in those circumstances that kind of catch you by storm, remember this, that God is good. God is in control. This did not surprise Him. And I should trust Him even when things are awful. But you might say to me, you know, preacher, that's just real sweet. But folks are suffering. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't understand what kind of experience I'm having. I appreciate you, and I understand what you're trying to say, but you've not lived as long as I have. You've not seen things I have, and you might be a little bit of a Pollyanna right now. You just might be a little too optimistic about all these things. And certainly I sense that and feel that pressure as a pastor. Anytime you start to preach on these things or proclaim God's truth on these things, what you have to do is take what the Bible says and apply it to people's lives. And every life in here has been affected in different ways by the storms of life. Every life in here, every person in here has been affected in so many different ways. But I want to tell you that I think God's sovereignty points us to something that no matter what you've been through, and no matter whether you see it in this life or not, God will make all things right, and that's through the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think God's sovereignty points us to Christ. The New Testament, at one point, when the Pharisees tested Jesus and questioned Jesus and asked Him for a sign, He said they would receive no sign but the sign of Jonah. The Son of Man would spend 3 days and 3 nights in the ground. They received no sign but the sign of Jonah. In other words, He was pointing those Pharisees and Sadducees to His death and His resurrection. And so I think God put Jonah in that whale for that amount of time and brought him to the edge of death and brought him back precisely because He wanted to point us all to hope in Jesus Christ. It's exactly what's happening here in this text. Whether or not Jonah knew it or not as he wrote this, or the author of Jonah knew it or not as he wrote this, I know that the Spirit was working through these circumstances and working through this situation to point us to faith in Jesus Christ. We cannot divorce the sovereignty of God from God's purposes, even in all the ways that God was faithful to individuals in the past. And here he is being faithful to Jonah. Even in those circumstances, God is acting and working in patterns that would remind us of his faithfulness in the future. So God is not making any mistake when he leaves Jonah in that belly of that great fish for that certain amount of time, for it was intended to point us and remind us that God is faithful to all people, not just Jonah one day, through the Son, Jesus Christ, who spent 3 days in the ground before he raised from the dead. Not only that, but we're reminded of this miraculous salvation right at the right time. We're reminded that God is able to save to the uttermost. We oftentimes ask ourselves the questions about God's sovereignty. How could God do this? How could God act like this? But question this about the peak and pinnacle of God's providence when he brought Jesus Christ to the cross. Jesus Christ was the only person who's ever lived who did not deserve to die. Didn't deserve to die. All of us in our sins deserve to die, but Jesus Christ didn't. One theologian once said, people often ask why bad things happen to good people, but that only happened once. He's talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, the cross. We look to the Scripture and we're reminded that even though God is sovereign, it is always a sovereignty that is leading to gospel work and gospel hope. Even though we sometimes find ourselves crushed by our Lord Jesus Christ, by our Father who's sovereign over all things, we know that he crushed Jesus Christ on our behalf so that even as we mourn, even as we cry, even as we're in pain, even as we suffer, we know that these things are what the Apostle Paul calls light, momentary affliction. Remember that God is sovereign over all things when difficult circumstances present themselves. But also, second point this morning is this. Remember that God's mercy is often displayed in unique ways. Remember that God's mercy is often displayed in unique ways. I can imagine Jonah praying at some point in his life, "Oh God, be merciful to me. God, would you demonstrate your mercy to me? So I know that you're good and a loving, that you're a God of loving kindness." I know that he prayed to him at different times, like, "Oh God, would you protect me?" Any day of his life, I can imagine him praying that. But can you imagine the day when Jonah would have woken up just on a Tuesday? He said, "Oh Lord, please let the day come when on the verge of drowning I found myself swallowed by a fish." Can't imagine him saying that because these are unbelievable circumstances that he's found himself in. And oftentimes we find ourselves sort of defending these portions of the Bible, right? During seminary, when I worked a secular job, I had a man say, "So you really believe, that a big fish swallowed a man up? You really believe that the whole world is flooded? That is unbelievable to me." I said, "That is precisely the point. If you can't get to a point where you believe that God can appoint a big fish to swallow a man up, how are you at a point in your life where you can actually believe that God can save wicked sinners from hell?" We are often mesmerized by miracles like this that actually fall short of the greatest miracles in the Bible. If God is able to save sinners to the uttermost, if he's able to take wicked rebels and bring them into his kingdom, if he's able to change my heart and your heart, can he not tell a fish what to do? We find ourselves often in these unique circumstances, these unique ways that God is being merciful to us. And no doubt Jonah never prayed. I can't imagine Jonah praying, "Please let me be swallowed by a fish." But I'm confident that God answered years of Jonah's prayers when he would ask for protection, when he would ask for mercy, when God appointed a fish at the verge of Jonah's death, when Jonah certainly, for his despicable hatred of the Ninevites, God could have let him die. But God appointed this fish to swallow him up, to save him. The flow of the verses 1 through 6, isn't it beautiful? I called out to the Lord out of my distress and He answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried. He's on the verge of death. He knows he's soon to die. And you heard my voice. Even as I'm dying, you heard my voice, O Lord. For you cast me into the deep and into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. Oh, what hope Jonah's expressing in these impossible circumstances. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. If you've ever fallen into water or found yourself in a place where you couldn't get your bearings and thought you were kind of starting to panic in water, you know what a sense of dread can come over you in those circumstances. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. He thought that he was finally and fully in the snare of death. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. What beautiful imagery. What wonderful words are being spoken, and yet think about how strange of a situation it is to write a beautiful poem about the day you got swallowed by a fish. Imagine the discomfort you might experience in the belly of a great fish. Now, some of you are avid fishermen, some of you aren't, and some of you just at the thought of holding a fish by the mouth and pulling the hook out, you kind of get a little squeamish. You start to think about those scales, and fish have unique smells, and so does the ocean, and all these different kinds of things. And you can just imagine the strange circumstances that Jonah had found himself in, and yet he is praising the Lord for it. We so often want God to be merciful to us, but do we recognize that His mercy can often be displayed to us in unique ways? If God is sovereign, then no circumstance that you encounter is outside His will. If God is good, and He means good for us in Christ, then no circumstance you encounter is meant to do anything less than form you into the image of His Son. Even if you were to get swallowed by a great fish, God means it for your good and for His glory. Be careful when you kick against the goads of God's mercy just because it doesn't fit what you expect the mercy of God to look like. Maybe the Lord is slowing that process down that you so desperately want to speed up precisely because He wants you to reconsider or become more patient or trust Him more. Maybe the Lord didn't allow you to get that promotion or that job because He knew you'd be miserable or you need to trust in Him and not your own abilities. Perhaps God, just something simple as slowing you down on the interstate, is His mercy to you in that day. God is being merciful to you in ways you cannot see or understand oftentimes. Whatever circumstance you encounter, no matter how difficult, no matter how impossible it may seem, God is being good to you if you know Jesus Christ. God is being merciful to Jonah by granting him refuge in the gut of a fish. Remember that God is sovereign over all things. Remember that God's mercy is often displayed in unique ways. And finally, remember God's goodness and take heart. Remember God's goodness and take heart. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed. Some irony here. Jonah's running from the presence of the Lord. Jonah has been on a ship with sailors who have begged him to pray. And yet we have no record of Jonah praying until when? Until he's half dead at the belly of a fish. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. He answered me, Jonah says. Verse 6, yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. Here is Jonah on one of his worst days in circumstances that are as bad as any of us could possibly imagine. And here he is praying when he wouldn't pray before. God brought him to this moment. God brought him to the end of his rope to display to him his own goodness. No matter how bad today is, remember that God is good. Now listen, Jonah's not perfect. Don't worry. We're going to find Jonah sulking before this is all over with. But here we find him humbled. Here we find a turning point in his life. And he's going to at least begin the process after he's coughed up by this fish. He's going to begin the process of obedience. I think you're going to start to see that obedience sometimes is kind of messy. He's doing what he ought to do, and yet his heart's still not there. And yet God is using this to begin a process in Jonah's life of humbling him and reminding him of who God is and who he serves. So often we get to the stage of life where what we feel or what we experience defines reality for us. We can even read it all the way up to God. My life is not good, so how can God be good? We might think. We must have a rock solid assurance that God is good. And if you say to yourself, how can I know that God is good? How can I know that God means good for me? Look to His Son. Look to what He's done to you for you through the gospel. It might sound like I'm beating the same drum over and over. It's precisely because I am. If you ever question God's goodness, look to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remind yourself of the way that God was supremely good. Look to these examples in the Old Testament that are prefiguring the gospel. There are ways that God was merciful and saved people even before the gospel was there, and all the manifold ways that God showed mercy to prepare us for His mercy to come. Not only has God shown mercy to the sailors, not only is He showing mercy to the Ninevites, He's showing mercy to the one who would go and proclaim His judgment. What a good and merciful God we have. Even in a very difficult time, he was drowning, he was spiritually distant from God, he was sulking and disobedient. Jonah nonetheless recognizes the goodness of God, even in these circumstances. Let me ask you this, can you do the same thing? Can you do the same thing? I want you to have a perspective on God. This season for who He is. If you have a little God, your circumstances will eat you alive. Your circumstances will be more than you can bear because God won't be able to bear them for you. You'll have a little G God who can't do much. If your vision of God is so shrunken that you're not able to see the brightness and the beauty of His glory and His majesty and His goodness and His grace, then your circumstances have the potential to eat you alive. Or even worse, you have the potential to run after other false gods to try to satisfy you when your circumstances aren't what you want. But if you will have a view of God that sees Him for who He is, the greatness and the grandeur and the glory of God, the bigness of God, if you will have a vision of our Lord Jesus Christ that is bigger than you and as big as He ought to be in your life, then your circumstances will not dictate how you respond to them. God will dictate how you respond to your circumstances, and He will bring about glory and maturity and all kinds of wonderful things, even out of terrible situations. What others might mean for evil, God will use for good. If you refuse to focus on God's attributes, your circumstances will eat you alive. But if you will have a Godward life, a God-focused life, a God-saturated life, a life that is pinned fast to the mast of the Word of God, then your circumstances will begin to fade and God will begin to brighten. And even when you lose this whole world and have Christ, you'll know in that moment, I have everything. I want to offer an invitation this morning. I want to offer an invitation to you and say, if you have business to do with the Lord today, I'd love to pray with you. First of all, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you may look to me and say, "Preacher, I've never put my faith in Jesus for the first time." This morning, I'd love to pray with you and guide you through what it might mean for you to become a Christian here today. Second of all, you may be looking for a church home. I want to tell you something about the First Baptist Church of Gadsden. We're not a perfect church, but what we are committed to is loving the Lord Jesus Christ and loving our community. I'd love to talk to you about what it might mean for you to be a member here at First Baptist Church. Finally, you may be a believer and you just may have business to do with the Lord. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you about what it might mean for you to draw closer to Jesus today. After this prayer, let me invite you to come. Let's pray together. Oh Lord our God, we're grateful to you for the gospel of Christ. Father, I thank you so much for all the ways that you've gifted our church. And Lord, I pray that we would use those gifts for your glory. God, would you please bless this time that we've had together today? And if there's anyone who doesn't know you, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would prompt them to put their faith in you for the first time today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If our ushers would please come forward. Once again, if you're visiting with us today, let me just remind you, we'd love to have a record of your visit if you drop that in the offering plate here in just a moment as it comes around. And then also, just as a reminder, I'd love to meet you here at the end of the service. So please be willing to come back, and I've got a small gift I'd like to give you. Know this, that if you still have business to do with the Lord, you get with me after the service, you get with me this week. God, the Spirit doesn't stop working just because it's not Sunday. So we'd love to talk with you, pray with you anytime that you'd like.